this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? This side of the pond, indeed. Another extra special podcast. John is remote in Hawaii. I'm coming from California. And we are breaking down that 1-1 draw against Arsenal at home. Sir, how you feeling?
Sir, doing well. Baby moon. Great weather here in Maui. What a great place to enjoy a miserable 1-1 draw. I think I should always travel when we're playing big teams. That way the disappointment doesn't sting too hard, sir. What do you say?
Yeah, there are worse places to drown out a 1-1 victory than Maui on a nice sunny day, sir. So I don't feel too bad for you. Not our day at the office, sir. The game was there to be had. We had our chances. Arsenal were not looking their finest, and we just couldn't get all 3 points that we desperately needed a win at home. And to keep another clean sheet. So I'm a little bit gutted at the moment.
Desperately needed the 3 points. Arsenal were there for the taking. I think there's a lot of things to be, a lot of good points to take away from the game. Clearly, the result is not one of them. VAR working in the Premier League is not one of them. But, you know, Dan James looks fire. McTominay, great finish. Probably should have had another. Pogba's getting back into it. So I wouldn't say he was really a net positive, but the defense and Twan Zaidi. He's a player. I think he's going to be our next starting center back along with Maguire. I think Lindelof might fade to the bench here shortly. But a lot of positives. If you look at the team we put out, for us to be on the front foot compared to that Arsenal side, they paid how much for Pepe and Aubameyang, and they were pretty quiet. So people they have to take a look at the starting 11 there and say, I think we did a lot with what we had.
The glass half full part of me thinks of the positives, right? Talks about the Twan Zaidi. Him being an option, not only a center back, but also a left back now. McTominay having a really great game. Pereira showing some glimpses. James, of course, being threatening on the front foot. Harry Maguire doing his thing. But
dude, Maguire is great. Love Maguire.
There are positives, sir. There are positives. But at the same time, sir, this game was had. We had this game in our hands. You know, when McTominay got that goal at the end of the first half, you just knew if we could hold down the fort. And then the VAR gods, sir, they were not in our favor this time. All that magic juju
but you
that we
need
used
to hold
up
down
in
the
Paris.
Fort against Arsenal. You need to score two more, right? That's what I
should have.
We should have scored, you know, Rash could have had that set piece. Pogba should have had that curler. McTominay with the free header. I mean, our chances were there. That's been the story of the season. We cannot score goals. I think that's just mojo. If you give the lads a few more games, we got a lot of young kids here. I think we're going to come good because when you look at the tactic side of things, how Ole played them, clearly we're at home. We had the advantage, but Arsenal looked pretty poor going forward, and they spent a lot of money up top as that's kind of where, you know, where they've been focused in the transfer window. We actually spent no money up front, sir. We actually sold.
Dan James, 17 million pounds, sir.
Dude,
not a net positive.
We sold Lukaku. It's like a net positive, and you think about what we're doing with what we got, I would say we're doing pretty good. So, fans are disappointed. Clearly, at Manchester United, we should beat Arsenal. But if you look at what we're doing it with and what Ole has right now, give him a few windows. That's what Roy Keane said. You got to give him a few windows. Give him time. But encouraging stuff from the start. Let's jump in, take a look at that lineup. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net. I think he was solid as well against Arsenal, other than that one offsides VAR call there. Ashley Young, left back. Lindelof, Maguire, and Twan Zaidi. Your boy comes in, did an amazing job. I really do rate Twan Zaidi. That's just as good of a signing right there. McTominay, Pogba in the midfield. Pereira, Lingard, James with Lingard at 10 and Rashford in the number 9 spot. Sir, what do you think when you saw that lineup against Arsenal?
Sir, I was excited to see Pogba back in the fold. You know, as our talisman, he is an important player to have involved as much as possible.
Talisman,
you got it, bro. He's the most important player.
He hasn't been a talisman since Chelsea.
Sir, when he wants to play, he's on. You know, he's often unplayable. Twan Zaidi getting the chance was also encouraging. Ole continues to, you know, look to him as an option in defense over Marcus Rojo, which I think is exciting. Jesse Lingard, I was hoping that he'd be on the bench, featured as a bench player, but excited to see Rashford back coming off his groin injury, and then another chance for Dan James to shine. So I was optimistic, looking forward to the game, and thinking this starting 11 was enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I was really confident. Like on paper, looking at Arsenal, looking at that starting 11, we're at home, solid defense. Twanzebe shoring up the left wing, shutting down Pepe and Aubameyang. McTominay, Pogba in the midfield, that should do it, right? Pogba should be able to unlock Arsenal with a few passes, get Pereira, Rashford, James into dangerous areas. And you know what? It just didn't really come off, sir. Jumping into the first half, bit of a scrappy start, but I would say United got the better of Arsenal to boot. Didn't have a shot on target for the first 29 minutes, where Pereira actually made a nice run from the right-hand wing, got some space, took David Luiz on, turned him inside out, and he just kind of scuffed his shot. Great scoring opportunity for Andres Pereira. Obviously not a natural right winger, but you're starting to see him get more comfortable in that position. And I like how direct he was. Great opportunity for the young lad.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good to finally get a chance to see him running at players, in this instance taking on David Luiz and kind of splitting them open and getting a decent shot off in the end of it. So, hey, more of him featuring in an attacking position, pushing forward, playing up-tempo, the better. I think he's got a lot of upside potential for sure.
Yeah, and in the first half, it was really frustrating because United would get the ball sort of close to the final third. Pogba, Lingard, that errant ball, you know, like the pass that you got to get right, the pass for the pass. They called the hockey assist, the one that unlocks the opposition before you score. We had nothing doing, like literally passing the ball to Arsenal directly in the final third. So really wasn't much doing for Manchester United, and that's just – we just don't have our mojo. When it comes to the final third, Rashford – he can't hit the broadside of a barn. Pogba can't make a pass. Lingard can't do it. The only person we have a chance with is Dan James. And he's the only one really playing with confidence at the moment. Everyone kind of looks shook.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott McTominay is another one of those players that's definitely showing he's growing game by game as an absolute rock in the midfield. So exciting to see that, you know, if you're going to pick out positives. But Rashford, right, in the 42nd minute, after Pogba finds him that great ball, showing a touch that's reminiscent of our my former boy, Romelu Lukaku, bro. Just like absolutely rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. And that's
he
just
took one touch too many, right? He should have just pulled up and shot. He had one touch, should have shot. He took another and
didn't look confident as soon as he got the ball. You know, as simple as that. He's just not on form at the moment, needs a goal. And just maybe putting him out the wing was the best thing for him at the moment.
And I do think they kind of made a switch. I forget actually when that switch was, but I do think that Dan James came more centrally. And in the 45th minute, sir, we didn't have to wait long from Scotty McSauce.
And they're sprinting forward, the men in red. Here's James. Guendouzi is the defender. Ball to the back post. Oh, it's just too far for Marcus Rashford. Jesse Lingard claiming he was dragged back on the edge of the area. McTominay! Oh! What a strike by Scott McTominay! In a half devoid of quality, the Scotsman delivers right on the stroke of half-time. Manchester United 1, Arsenal 0.
Scotty the Scotsman delivers McSauce. Easy as you like, my man. Took a little deflection, but love Scott McTominay. How could you not? Great goal for the lad. Breakthrough for United. I thought this is kind of all we needed to go hit him for three.
Another goal from a good counterattack from United. That has been the staple this year. When we do score, we often score on a counterattack through the vroom, vroom, vroom. Dan James, bro, just absolutely showing that he has three lungs, I think, because he is absolutely rapid, sir. But great goal from Scott McTominay. What a finish. Gets a little bit of a fortuitous touch.
Bad ball from Paul P, right? I mean, again, like that should have been into Rashford to score. We just didn't have that killer pass for that first-time goal. I mean, clearly glad Scotty got that goal, but that was kind of the theme where, you know, we kind of got a little lucky with McTominay's deflection, but, you know, you got to take it. You got to take what you can get.
Absolutely, sir, absolutely.
Jump in the second half, sir. What'd you think Ole was telling the boys? We're up a goal, probably deserved it given the end of the first half kind of opened up a little bit. I think we did have the better of Arsenal there. What were your thoughts?
No, I think Ole was going to tell them, you know, we got to hold down shop, make sure we keep the clean sheet, which is important. This game is in our hands, and let's up the tempo a little bit, go at them direct, and just, you know, be a little faster with our passing. And I think that was what they missed. They weren't adventurous enough So hopefully Ole was telling them that he had to be a little bit more direct in attacking and just go for it, because this game is there to win, not think about losing it.
Yeah, I think we implemented the medium block and tried to hit him on the counter, right? You know, play to our strengths, Dan James, Rashford, Pereira, and Lingard. Try to get him in behind. I think that's what we tried to do, as Ole kind of wants to invite a team to equalize and then hit him for the counter and kill off the game. But for some reason, we just haven't been killing off the game, sir. 55th minute, this was a penalty shout from Kolasinac. The frosted tips goes to VAR. For some reason, they do not decide that this penalty is worth a penalty. I have no idea why. I don't understand the criteria of VAR. As it's been explained to me, there's a guy in a van who's looking at it, and he has to decide to overrule the referee on the field. I don't even think the referee saw this handball. So the fact that they're not calling that immediately penalty just blows my mind. So what is VAR doing here?
Hey, the VAR gods can be cruel at times. I think, you know, the play was just so quick that the ref never saw it. The way that the hierarchy works is that the guy in the van isn't going to go over the top of the guy on the field. So what can you say, sir?
That's the point of it, right? It doesn't make any sense how this. What's a penalty on a handball? I mean, clearly that meets the criteria. It's black and white. We saw it in Paris. It is you might not want to overrule the referee, but it is a penalty. I think when you stack up the video highlights of handballs that weren't penalties and handballs that were at the end of the season, you're going to see pretty much the same exact thing. It's going to be completely subjective. Basically human error, in my opinion. Introducing this into EPL is dangerous. We've seen what it's done in the NFL, all the replay with pass interference now. Nobody knows what pass interference is. Has to be clear and obvious. What does that mean? Everyone's just in the gray, and then you just get a shit call, basically.
Sir, if you were mad at VAR before, you'd be even madder at the 59th minute, sir.
Third place in the Premier League table. His father Peter, a legend here. Aubameyang is offside. Finishes nicely, but the flag was raised on the near side almost immediately.
Funny enough, Aubameyang's not complaining, is he? Sloppy by Manchester United from their own throw-in. Ball given away just there by Twan Zabi. Oh, he's onside, isn't he?
By a country mile, Graham.
By a country mile, sir. On by a country mile. The thing is, the referee raised the flag. That affected Ashley Young. That affected Dave Saves. The fans reacted to it. Clearly, the players knew the call was offsides. They shut off. Aubameyang gets a half-speed finish goal at full speed. Who knows? Maybe someone could get there. Again, this is just chalk up to players' inexperience with VAR. This is the system now. This is what we're dealing with. 2019-20 EPL.
Sir, crackerjack stuff from the EPL squad. Like, one of the worst offside calls. Bro. One of the worst offside calls I've ever seen, by the way, is miles onside.
And the fact referee raised the flag immediately.
It was one of the fastest onside calls and one of the worst. So the fact that all the players shut off, Ashley Young actually, when you rewatch it, has a chance to make a at least cut down the angle. But, sir, I mean,
no robbery. Look, we can lament about VAR all day long, right? It's here to stay. The problem with replay systems is they're never perfect. They're always going to be iterated on, right? So, like, the case studies, the NFL, first of all, then we didn't know what a catch was. Remember, we started like, you and me watch NFL or football our entire lives. No one ever debated what a catch was. Then we had replay, and then you have to look at a slow motion, like, movement of the ball. It becomes replay, just the lines blur so much. And with this handball, and what I think with football, it's gonna be, what's a handball, when is it clear and obvious to overrule the referee? And there's gonna be tons of inconsistencies. It's something we're gonna get used to, and they're probably gonna make improvements next season and the season after that. It's a slippery slope, man. You have to really limit it to the game is great because there's human discretion on the pitch. The referee manages the game, and Arsenal lost that game. Arsenal lost the game.
They did not deserve that goal.
Hey, sorry, it was a shit call. You lost the game. We win 1-0. That's like how it should be. That's how it should be.
I mean, it throws off the whole play of game, right? The fact that everyone stops in their tracks and then they overturn it and say, actually, you know, he was onside, but we did raise the flag. They're acting like raising the flag doesn't fundamentally change gameplay right? That's part of the game, like, right? It's
goal
just
decision
dictates.
System is one thing, yep. Right? Goal decision system is one thing. Offside review for goals is another, right? The referee should never flag. The referee can't flag. Just let it play. If it's close, let it play, and then you review it retroactively. You never raise the flag. So it's a referee error, and let's chalk it up to that. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some this season, but look, we're not going to lose the title on VAR. Let's just say that safely right now. Somebody could potentially. I think you're going to see changes next season because I don't think they have it right. I don't think the system is you can clearly see that.
Whatever rule allowed this to happen.
It's not right.
Whatever rule allowed this to happen needs to be changed immediately. Because this is like, the Abada-Yang goal. The Abada-Yang offside goal should be an infamous goal.
He kind of made a cheeky comment when he was interviewed about the goal. He was like, I think he knew that everyone saw the flag and that he scored. And then he kind of was like, all right, I'll take it. But a little guilty there from Aubameyang. And it's like, what are we watching? We're watching two great teams in one of the best rivalries on a Monday night in the number one football league in the world. And you just have like, here's a gift of a goal. Like you're just giving someone a goal. It makes no sense to me. Absolutely infuriated me. Still should have finished our chances. 69th minute, great chance for McTominay, open header. Pogba had a curler as well open, should have scored that. Pogba, you want to get double your money, son. You better start scoring some goals. 74th minute, Ole kind of waited a little too long, in my opinion, to change it. Double sub Fred and Greenwood for Lingard and Pereira, sir. What'd you think about that change?
I think, Greenwood was a good sub at the time. Lingard wasn't doing anything. Probably it was like one of the least effective players on the pitch for Manchester United. So it was good to hook him. Maybe could have made that sub a little earlier. Pereira, I thought he was starting to fade at the end, but a lot of people were slamming on Fred. I don't think he had the best appearance. Hopefully he's gets a chance to
Fred, dude. I'm sorry, man. Fred's like Falcao 2.0. It's like not going to work. Like,
I think he's still got time.
I know exactly.
Give him the rest of the season.
I know exactly the player he's supposed to be when he comes on the field, and I just do not see that. He should be fast, creative in the midfield, like long passes. He should be like Pogba Jr., but quicker, but he just looks off the mark and has been for, I don't think we've seen his full potential. I mean, we watched the Shakhtar highlights in the Champions League when we signed him, and for some reason playing in England, it just hasn't hit a stride. I'm not rooting against him, but in this situation, you would love Fred to be that attacking midfielder, get pace and energy in the midfield, really open things up, and I didn't really get that from him.
I mean, he's in a tough go of it, right? He obviously didn't have a good cameo appearance against Arsenal, but hopefully, if he's given a couple more cup games and Europa League games, I think there's still potential in him. Look, good old Fred the Red.
Dude, Fred the Red. I'm sure Fred the Red, I think he needs to go. Greenwood, on the other hand, looked great. I mean, we saw a few turns from him. Always got an eye for goal. I think he should be starting. Put Rashford on the left wing. I really rate Greenwood. So, I mean, look, Fred, I hope he comes good. But I know exactly what he's supposed to do, but...
You ain't doing
Freddie, you're killing all. He always gets a yellow card when he comes on too. 91st minute, Rashford takes a great free kick at the death, forces Leno into a fine save. Rashford, tough here. Leno with a great save, and then it came back to Greenwood, who wasn't able to get a shot off. But again, close, no cigar for Manchester United. That was a story today. Wasn't meant to be. 1-1. The VAR gods gift Arsenal a point. Unai Emery happy about it because, I mean, like, at least we're not Arsenal fans, sir. That's all I got to say.
I mean, there's no club it's not certainly wouldn't be my second choice after Manchester United, sir. So I couldn't even think about what it would mean. Yeah. Well, there's only one club, sir. It's above all most. It is the greatest club in all the land. So I had to say that I think the mark of the game is two former giants, us being the much greater giant in history and lore, but just kind of been like sapped of all the resources and now kind of fledgling along. Arsenal's doing better at the moment than we are, but United just showing that lack of investment, unfortunately, sir. I think we need that cutting edge in the front. We lack like a pure finisher and a striker that we just, Rashford, he's still got a lot of upside. But unfortunately, we need someone right now who can bang in the goals because that's what we're missing. That's what this team needs.
Clearly, hashtag Glazers out. I'm wearing my Avram Glazer clown shirt. I actually got a compliment here in Hawaii. Somebody actually really liked the shirt. I don't think they knew who it was. Just a general scary clown. But when it comes to what we see on the field at Manchester United, it's like we didn't buy Pepe for 70 million and Arsenal's struggling, right? I mean, we got rid of all these strikers up top and we're doing well. I mean, like, and their young kids are coming in and making moves.
We're not doing well. Look at the point haul. We're not doing well.
For what we have, yeah, for selling Lukaku, for selling Sanchez, yeah, for not re-signing a number nine, for playing Rashford, for playing Pereira at right wing, I would say we're doing well. I mean, like, how could you look at our team compared to Arsenal's, dude? Like, Arsenal has people come off the bench, change the game. We don't have that. Like, we don't even have bench players come in. Jesse Lingard's starting. It's like, we have no sub.
Yeah,
we got Mata on the bench. I mean, it's hard to compare right now at Manchester United. It's definitely a rebuilding era, but the good part is we're going to know what we need, right? We played half the season in January. We know we need number nine. This is a longer term rebuild. It's not something I want. I want us to go out and trounce Arsenal. I want to cheer. I don't want to deal with this. This is tough times as a Manchester United fan. But like you said, the toughest start in the Premier League era, and we're going through it right now. So as fans, this is challenging. It's not something I like, but if you get down about losing or tying Arsenal in this game, I mean, you're gonna have a bad time the rest of the season.
You're gonna have a bad time. It's gonna be a long season, right? You can't hide that.
You gotta look at the positives. If we were playing Pepe and not scoring, we bought Aubameyang and we're not scoring, then I'd be more worried, right? I think the young kids figure out who can work, who can start in the EPL, figure out who can score you a few goals, and then try to fill in the gaps. I really think that's what we're going to try to do. Clearly, the Glazers should have spent more money last summer, but the whole idea that we need these big ticket buys like Paul P and Romelu Lukaku, that didn't work either. So I'm glad we're kind of at least playing the kids.
Yeah, Dan James' approach is the way to signing, right? You pay full price for an Aaron Wan-Bissaka, you pay full price for Aaron Maguire, and you nub a couple of deals here and there on players with a ton of upside potential like Dan James, who have a work rate, who have a willingness to play, and just, you know, they fit in well. So I think you're right. This is a slow and steady kind of season. We're not going to – I think top four is probably even out of our reach for this year. Hopefully we can cup, right? Maybe an FA Cup, and that would be a successful season. But I think you're just going low and slow. Carabao Cup, yeah. The almighty Carabao Cup, sir.
No, but when you look at a Dan James and you see what he can do on a pitch for Manchester United, like, does he go on the field and think about money? Is he, like, showing up when he's injured, wearing, like, you know, I mean –
He's there
you
to
can't
play,
question
sir.
His dedication to the team. Paul Pogba wants double the wages to stay at Manchester United, and you look at him kind of go out there and yog, and it's really a mentality. It's an effort thing. I want younger kids who want to have something to prove. That's the way to go. Look, Paul P, too good for our team. He's probably too good for our team, and he doesn't find it exciting to play at Manchester United right now for whatever reason. Wish I could convince him, but at the end of the day, like, I'd rather have 11 Dan Jameses on the field.
Sir, would you pay him double the money? What's he want, 30 million?
I tweeted that out, and it was like, people were just like, no way. Like, majority of people said no. Some people were arguing, well, it's not my money, so I'd pay him. And that argument is kind of fickle because you pay Pogba more money, it's not going to motivate him to play better. He's just going to check out.
He's not playing like a $30 million player. He's not playing like Ronaldo, like week in, week out, just scoring bags of goals for you, right? He's like kind of inconsistent. He's still inconsistent. He's not scoring as many goals as he was even last season. So I'm not sure I'm ready to pay him $30 million.
Well, Gary Neville said, like, where's the Paul Pogba that made that locker room speech at France, you know, at the World Cup? Like, he gave that speech, riled the team up. Like, he's clearly not doing that in the locker room at Manchester United. I would think that he's kind of on the outs, on the appendages of the dressing room atmosphere. The way he's been acting this year, he's been injured training alone. I just don't know if he really gets along with the crew, especially considering the likes of Lingard are not really coming off either. So something's going on there where they're not firing all cylinders. And it's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because you put those kids in with, like, you know, the old school Manchester United. Like, say if this youth came in a little earlier, and we still had the Rooneys around, the RVPs, et cetera. And, you know, Moyes didn't gut the place. Like, I think we would be in a different position than we are now, unfortunately.
No, it'd be exciting stuff because there are a lot of young players that are chomping at the bit and have the ability. Scott McTominay, Twanzebe, Pereira is mixed bag, but Dan James for sure, bro. There's a lot of goodness on this squad. It's just that the league is competitive. We're going to have some inconsistent performances, and we're going to finish outside the top four. That seems like abundantly clear, right? At this point that, like, we're not going to be in the top four, but we can cobble together some proper performances and just like show the encouraging signs that things are getting better and we're progressing, I think fans will be optimistic.
Yeah, but the one thing we're missing is leadership, right? It's like the funniest thing about this game was, granted, Xhaka was captain with Ashley Young. So yeah. Like every Arsenal fan hates Xhaka and every Manchester United fan. I mean, like I actually like Ashley Young. I'm strange, but like the majority of them don't. So like two players are like hated by their fan bases are captaining their sides out to this match. And it's like Harry Maguire should be the captain. David De Gea should be the captain. Like Dan James, he plays like he should be a captain. I mean, like we Scott need leadership of Manchester United. There's been a void, right? Like McTominay might step into that role, but there's been a void since Carrick left. Really, the leadership has kind of gone awry, and hopefully always trying to get that back together. But we do need some veterans to kind of right the ship here with the young lads, because I don't think Pogba is doing that job, and I don't think he should get double the money. Look, if you hate that opinion, please tweet at us. Tell us why we're wrong. Love to hear the banter, sir. Match reaction. That's right. We're still recapping this match. Manchester United 55% to Arsenal's 45. Shots on target. Manchester United is 4 to Arsenal's 5. Manchester United have won 49 points from the 28 Premier League games under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, two fewer than they won in their final 28 games under Jose Mourinho. Shots fired. That's for all the Jose outers. They're clearly, and this is one thing I kind of wrestle with, sir. It's like, if now we're going to give Ole time, we're going to give Ole, you know, 400 million. Why wouldn't you give Jose time? And why wouldn't you give Jose 400 million? Surely he's the more experienced manager.
Yeah, I don't think they're going. Right. I don't think. I mean, like first Ole, of all, I don't think they're giving Ole 400 million. And second of all, is because his attitude was shit, and he was just like starting windows, fights with everybody.
If you give someone four windows, you assume they could. I mean, fine, 300 million over four windows. If you give Ole 3 years and you give him say 300 million, which isn't a lot, and you give him his players and he gets to get rid of Lukaku and all these players he doesn't like, why wouldn't you let Jose Mourinho do that? Who's like one of the most winningest coaches in
because his attitude was shit. His attitude was shit, and he went sideways at the end.
He should have got rid of Pogba.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have replaced him.
At the end of the day, the manager has to be the man. That I'm just like, if you think about it, if you were making a rational business decision, and you're like, this guy managed Cardiff City, got relegated, and this guy has won pretty much everything in world football, who would you want to give time and money to? And the answer is Jose Mourinho. I do like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer better because he was a striker for Manchester United, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be a great manager or that you should be given 3 years. Now, he will be given 3 years, and I will back him the entire time, but hindsight's 20/20, and if in 3 years we're like,
You having a little Monday quarterback? You're watching those Paddy Power commercials, sir? You miss Jose Mourinho that much?
I mean,
do you remember how dark it was at the end? It was pretty dire, sir.
Okay, but I agree, but who would you give the money to?
We gave him that money and we gave him time, and now we're going to give Ole some time and money because he's only had one window thus far, sir.
Dude, he didn't get a center back, right?
I don't disagree, sir. We finally bought that center back, but a year too late.
No, but there's a point. There has to be some semblance of a point in there where you're like, who would you give the money and time to? Now we're giving it to Ole. That you can't go back in time, but I think most people would give it to the more experienced manager, right? What if we do this whole season with Ole? We finish like ninth, say like 10th, like tough year, get someone in January. All right, we're going to rebuild this summer. And then we come out next year. We look shit. He's probably fired, bro.
Yeah, well, let's get there first, sir. He's gotten three players, so let's let him replace a lot of the positions.
Let's get to that point, sir. Manchester United, the draw means this is the first time they have won fewer than 10 points in their opening seven games in the Premier League era, sir. So as we have been fans, this is the worst start to the Premier League for Manchester United. So some people are right to be a little concerned. That's all I'm saying. After 29 minutes, this was the longest wait for a first attempt on target in the Premier League, which is tough going, especially considering we were at home and we should be getting those shots. But what do we know, sir? We can argue all day long. Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Next up.
Do you think your players stopped when the linesman's flag went up?
Ashley certainly holds his hand up. You see, because he can look straight at the linesman. Maybe he hesitates a little bit. He could have probably got a block in. That probably would have helped David. But that's no... no consolation for us now because it's a perfectly good goal for them. So probably should have kept the flag down, but that, yeah.
Do you think that's a problem that
Premier League have deviated from the rules of Champions League and other foreign leagues, that the fines and still business flag up rather than just letting the action play out and then you can bring it back.
Yeah, definitely. He made an impact on the situation by erasing the flag. When it's that way, you could wait and do take it later. When it's the handball that we could have, should have had a penalty, make a decision and take it back. It's sometimes, but that's up to the referee.
Up to the referee, sir. What do you think about that? John.
Sorry, sir. It was on mute there. You know, calling in.
It happens, sir. It happens. What do you think about all these comments?
First of all, I want to give Alex a shout out. You are managing the soundboard and you've never done it before. So
I'm trying.
If you're listening
to this podcast, fly by the seat of my pants.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, shout out to Alex for actually recording it correctly there. It's not easy. These comments, look, in the new era of VAR, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Just like regular refereeing calls right now, we lost it. The tough pill to swallow. I don't like even hearing that, makes me upset. Just listening to him and how right you are. It's like, we should have got the handball. And what's the referee doing raising the flag? Nobody. They're going to change it. Clearly, this is not the product that we should be watching on TV. It's a poor product put together poorly by the FA, right?
But Ole showing his humility, I think. I mean, that's like, it's pretty tough, you know, punching the teeth for a pretty shitty goal to give Arsenal. And then I think he takes it pretty well. I think, you know, that's the job he's been given. You got to spin it. But it's pretty tough, sir. The fact that, like, he's right, spot on about Ashley Young.
Yeah, and absolutely spot on. Ashley Young could have got in there. And one thing for Ole is, like, look, you know, we just spat about Mourinho and Ole. Ole's class act 24/7. Like, he's not going to crack in the press. He's not going to throw the referee under the bus. He's literally just going to keep his head on his shoulders, get to work, right? And that's an intangible quality that is probably more Manchester United than anything. So Jose Mourinho, while he is a winner, will never be really a Manchester United manager in my eye. Roy Keane had some awesome comments on the match for Ole. I think this is definitely worth taking a listen to. Whenever Keane talks, we listen.
He continues to maintain a very bright, sunny demeanour. How do you think he's handling what's a pretty difficult time?
I think he's been brilliant. I thought his interview there was brilliant. He's a good, honest guy. I think he's been very honest. He obviously, what we're discussing, not Ollie will be discussing that with his staff as well. It's hard work at the moment. But you're on about positives earlier, and I couldn't think of it. But just after the game, you think, well, there's six or seven young players learning their way. They're playing for Man United. It's a big challenge for them. Big pressure, and we're all very impatient. We all want success, not today. We want it yesterday. Can we get it? You have to give the man a little bit of time. And I think Ollie's interview there was pure class. You know, he's obviously no doubt frustrated, like every manager out there. They're under pressure, but he's dealing with it. Even on about the goal they conceded there, we're all saying it was really poor. And he said, well, yeah, you know, you have to roll with it. And a classy guy, but no doubt he'd be disappointed. They're not winning enough games.
But six of the next seven are away. They haven't won away from home in the Premier League this season under Solskjaer. Do you worry that it could get rockier, and do they have to just stick by him through this?
Oh, yeah, of course. 100%. They've given him the job, give him the contract, support him, let him get on with it, give him a couple of transfer windows. Are there more tough days ahead? Bet your life there is. It's not going to get any easier. But they have to persevere, keep trusting these younger players, get one or two players back. Need more from Pogba tonight. We kind of give Pogba another build-up before the game. He's their best player, blah, blah, blah. We were disappointed with him watching
it. Sorry, you're talking about...
As soon as Jamie Carragher starts talking, bro, I'm muted.
You win a title? You never win a title.
As soon as I hear that voice, I'm good. I'm out. It's like, no more Jamie Carragher.
Preach. Dude, Roy Keane, preach, son. Like, play to the lads. Don't sweat it. Just, like, keep working. Get back to work. Always class guy. Love it. Like, give him time. Look, Keane's pretty harsh guy. He rates Ole, and he knows what pressure he's under. And I really like those comments. That's something that every Manchester United fan should take heed when Roy Keane talks, because he's right. It's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to win the league this year? No. It's like, stick with the kids, stick with Ole, you know, see how it materializes.
Slow and steady, bro. Stabilize the ship. I mean, this is just a recalibrated season. You have to expect very little. And the fact that we're going to learn a lot about what kind of players we have and we don't have, that'll probably be the most valuable thing we gain from the season, sir.
Yeah, and if you're one of the hardcores, and if you're listening to this podcast after this one, nil-nil, you are a hardcore. What better time to be a fan of Manchester United, you know?
Indeed.
Anyone could break in the starting 11. Anyone could be bought in January. This team could go from, we could lose the next six, we could win the next six. It's like anything can happen right now, and when you just win, 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 dude, it kind of gets boring. So right now, definitely exciting times.
It's way different than we're used to, sir. A lot different than Fergie. You got bored of winning.
Yeah, and
we're used to it. Never get bored.
We got next match. It's a peach of a match, sir. Very excited for this one. AZ Alkmaar, the Dutch, one of the top Dutch teams versus Manchester United. We'll be playing at ADO De Haag Stadium. I believe that's how you say it. Capacity 17,000. Under the lights, Thursday, October 3rd, 9:55 a.m. Pacific time. That'd be 12:55 Eastern. Match week two in Europa League, sir. So, tight turnaround. Played Monday. Playing Thursday. I'm really excited about this one. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, close trip to Holland. So fortunately, it's not too far of a journey for the young
lads.
Not
going to Uzbekistan, sir.
No, not yet, sir. Get ready for that flight. But hopefully getting to see your boy Fred the Red, sir, feature and get some good minutes underneath his belt back in Europe.
I hope so, sir. I hope he does well, Fred the Red. AZ and United are meeting in the UEFA competition for the first time. Simply AZ is what they're known as. AZ Alkmaar is a Dutch professional club from Alkmaar and Zaanstreek. The club plays in the Eredivisie, the highest professional league in the Netherlands, and hosts home matches at the AFAS Stadium. The nickname, I love this one, is the Cheeseheads. So shout out to any Green Bay Packers fans. You also have some cheeseheads across the pond. United's UEFA Europa League final victory against Ajax in Stockholm three seasons ago was their 17th match against Dutch opposition all time, sir, and their 9th victory. So we have had trouble against the Dutch. Everyone knows Cruyff, and sort of Dutch football did invent a lot of the sort of zonal pressing that we do see in the modern game that Pep Guardiola uses, that Cruyff is famous for. They have lost four of their 8 games in the Netherlands, 1-2, drawn 2, including the last two against PSV Eindhoven on match day, one of the 2015-16 UEFA Champions League, and Feyenoord 0-1 a year later in the first match of that triumphant UEFA Europa League journey. So AZ sitting third in the Dutch Premier League. They should not be – we should not be taking this game lightly, sir. They basically won the Eredivisie twice, so they're twice league champions, but the fact they're sitting in third place, 1 point behind Ajax and PSV, that who are both tied for first, I think shows they're very dangerous. They're going to be playing at home and they're probably going to attack us. So I'm a little nervous.
They're a good squad, sir. And they're going to be playing with confidence at home in probably an arena that is going to be ripping. I would imagine those Dutch fans do get fired up. So the boys got to bring it and not expect a rollover. This is not Uzbek FC, bro.
But AZ did tie their first match, so, and that was away, so they are coming home. They do need a win. They are obviously in our group with FC Astana. I forget the fourth team there, but they did tie them. They shouldn't have, but they did. And I think that just shows traveling on Thursdays is not easy, especially for sort of a like you want to say, as far as Europe goes, you know, 17,000 seat stadium, you know, they're pretty good in the Dutch league. They're probably like a mid-tier team. A lot of feeder players coming from here, a lot acquired by English Premier League teams. I want to say the team's 80% Dutch, features 80% Dutch players. Looking at the tactics, AZ play a 4-3-3, which is something that we need to watch out for. And Myron Bodu has scored 7 goals this year so far. So if you're looking for anyone, their number 9, Myron Bodu, he did score in their other European fixture as well. Look for AZ to attack at home. Like I said, they need 3 points. They need the win. They want to qualify, and they are a top Dutch side. So, look, we did beat Ajax in the final a couple of years back, but this one, expect United to be under some pressure. Hopefully, I think Ole will be thinking to hit them on the counterattack and, you know, hit them for 4, just like Chelsea, right?
We got to play from a strong back line. We got to control the midfield tempo because I'm sure they've got some tidy players in the middle of the park. So we got to bring it, sir. It's a big game. You know, the Europa League, a lot of people have written it off, but I think it's important for us to put a convincing performance in and get a win because we need to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, but this also goes to the real issue with Europa League, right? And the issue is, look, you know, we should totally want to beat AZ. We should totally want to advance. But is it worth playing Paul P on a Thursday night for a tight turnaround? I mean,
probably not.
Right. So at the end of the day, it's like we're going to see some youth. And I hope that this is where we can really showcase some young players, have them break through. Maybe like Fred. Maybe Fred can show us why we paid that money. Physio room, Bailly's out long term. Phil Jones, undisclosed. I have no idea why he's out. Anthony Martial, please come back, sir. He says next week with the thigh. Luke Shaw, he could be back this week. Probably not for AZ. DeLowe as well, back this week. Might feature Gomez again this week. Bissaka, he has tonsillitis. I don't know. Him and Greenwood were making out. I have no idea what's going on. Tonsillitis. This is just hysterical.
Where is it?
Fosu Mensah, he's obviously knee injury, no return date. So look, kind of a still a long injury list. I mean, Eric Bailly, forgot he played for our team pretty much. Phil Jones, it'd be great to have him in this fixture, but he's out, you know, medium to long term. So I don't think he's going to make it, sir. We need to play some more defenders, maybe a Lindelof.
You got it, sir. I got a young lad coming in from my starting 11. You ready for lineups?
Yep. Hey, this was your lineup, sir.
Sir, I got the best backup keeper in the world, Sergio Romero in net. I got a back four of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Twan Zabi, Rojo, and Brandon Williams featuring a left back after his strong performance last week. And then a midfield of Matic, Fred, and Mata, and a front three of Chong, Pereira, and Mason Greenwood. Who you got, sir?
I'm going to say Romero in net, DeLow, Twan Zabi, Maguire, sir. I think Ole's going to try to see how these two play together, build some chemistry. I do think that's going to be our two starting center backs going forward. Twan Zabi is just a beast. Rojo, Matic, Fred in the midfield too. Matic and Fred, I still got your boy there, even though I don't rate him. Mata comes in at 10. Chong on the left, Lingard on the right, and Greenwood up front. I do think we got to find a way to see Jesse get productive, maybe off the right. Hasn't been coming off at number 10, so I think we need to move him around. Sir, score predictions, what do you got?
Sir, I got 2-1, United victory, hard-fought win at the death, all 3 points. There you go.
I'm going to say 3-2, sir. It's going to be an exciting match. Back-and-forth stuff. You know, the football we're used to. None of this, don't get a shot for 29 minutes. United in the news. Exclusive, sir, per The Athletic. Manchester United go back in for Mandzukic.
Your boy, bro.
You know times are tough when you passed on Mandzukic. Now we're like, we need Mandzukic. So,
we're desperate for goals.
Mandzukic, you're like, this is tough. And then when you're going back to Mandzukic, it's just like, oh, it's just like, you know, we always, the analogy for is girlfriends, or you don't go back.
You never go back.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look here.
Sir,
but you know what? We need goals at the moment, and he is a senior leader. He's tough as nails. Maybe teach some of the young strikers a little thing about grit. So
sir,
I'm all for it if the price is right.
Excuses, sir.
All for it, sir. I'm all for it.
Look,
I love this.
He looked good in red. He looked good in red. He's mean, physical. Look, I don't know why you'd sell Lukaku and get Mandzukic. You know, I don't think that's an upgrade. I don't know why, but like that's the state of things right now, Manchester United. So I much
there
prefer someone who's got pace, right? Don't you think we need to be in for someone
like a Dybala,
like Callum Wilson, from a number nine, like a Troy Deeney, sir? Someone mean mugging, like. I just think Jamie Vardy would be a great number nine for Manchester United. Somebody who's salty, grit, speed. You know, I just think we needed to get somebody who's got that. You know, like Vardy fits it 100%. I don't know why we didn't get him, dude. He'd be awesome at Manchester United.
He would have been a very Fergie signing for sure. You know,
yeah,
missed out on him. So now he's just
we can't buy a whole. We're like trying to buy Leicester's whole team, right? We're trying to get Madison, Vardy. Already got Maguire. Next article. Goalkeeper coach Emilio Alvarez leaves Manchester United. Apparently, he broke up with David De Gea. Sad time, sir. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it's actually quite surprising after De Gea just signed a long-term deal. I guess that meant that Manchester United could finally sack his favorite coach for the goalkeeping area. So a little bit surprising, but you know, everybody wishes Alvarez the best, and thanks for all the memories.
Great bit of news on the pod there. Goalkeeping coach.
Key news. Key ins and outs, bro. A lot of pods. A lot of news to cover.
Alex is a big fan of the goalkeeping coach. Manchester United, next article. Manchester United must secure Champions League football to land Jadon Sancho. I mean, this is 100% correct. He would have come this summer if we got Champions League, and we did not. So he's a caliber of player that you got to be in the UCL. I think we're going to be a little farther away from the Sanchos of the world. I wish it could happen. I don't think so. This is like the new Wesley Schneider, I want to say, because the team is going to need some time. We're going to need some more Dan Jameses. Some Declan Rices before I get the Sanchos.
Hey, you never know. We're not likely to finish in the top four, but we can always make a run in the Europa League. Things could turn around. We can, you know, you can go far in a competition with some young lads.
I'm not checking the table anymore, sir.
Sorry?
I'm just not. I just don't even know what place we're in. I'm not checking the table.
Exactly. You don't want to know. We're like close to that dot, that dotted line, mate, and that's not where you want to be.
Manchester United, next article. To make another offer for Toby Alderweireld in January. I don't know. Again, we're always linked with Alderweireld. This is per the mail, sir. Would you want him? I think we have enough defenders. I look at Twanzebe. We re-signed Jones. We have Lindelof. I think we have center backs, right?
I mean, you could make the argument that if Twanzebe's not ready and Lindelof isn't up to scruff, that Alderweireld will be a pretty solid option if you can get him on the cheap, because I think he's basically free or close to free at this point. So, I mean, I'm keen on this. I think you can always have enough center back, sir. Erickson's a whole different ballgame. I'll take both of them.
I mean, I'm not getting pumped about Alderweireld anymore. Like, for Mourinho, it would have been good. Sort of a quick fix signing, cheap. But negotiating with Levy is always tough. Tottenham doesn't like to sell in the league. So, look, I think Alderweireld's over it. We should be looking at young talent coming up first and foremost. Jumping to fan questions, this podcast for fans by fans. We are featuring as many hot takes post the Arsenal match. Thank you to everyone who got us tweets. We're not able to feature everything, so we kind of pulled out the ones that had the most likes. Other fans must resonate with these messages. At Matt Fox 722, quote, Rashford is too inconsistent to be considered our top striker. Ole again with a late subs in the 74th minute. Pogba playing very lazy, again relying on James. Twanzebe looked 10 times better than Shaw and 20 times better than Young. We need confidence now, sir. What do you think?
I think he's spot on a couple of points. 74th minute was too late for the subs in this game. Pogba not playing his best, you know, not certainly not like a vintage Paul Pogba performance. And Twanzebe looks just like the real deal, Holyfield. Put him wherever you want, wherever you can. Center back, left back. I bet he could play right back as well, sir. It looks like, you know,
it's like a
good to go.
Sir. It's like a new signing.
Yeah, no doubt.
You say Twanzebe coming back from loan. Next tweet at 20 Milkman 13. Quote, we gave up that pure shit equalizer. I felt like Louis van Gaal. I know it's a draw, but man, it feels like we dropped 3 points, 9 points in 7 matches. We need at Ibra official in January, please, for the love of God, bring the line back.
Love it.
And he actually posted the gif of Louis van Gaal falling on the touchline, which I thought was appropriate. It does seem like the dark days of Louis van Gaal. I mean, think about it. He won the FA Cup, finished sixth. They sack him. Like, a lot of the manager decisions have been pretty poor too for Manchester United. If you think about it, right? Like,
we could have a whole pod on that, sir. We could break down all that decision making and transfer budgets that were given to Louis van Gaal. How much money did he have to spend? Who do you bring
it's
in? Who do you ask?
Really, it's basically how not to run a business. Is what it will
three easy steps.
Manchester United. Next tweet at ManRed80, quote, should United not try Twanzebe and Maguire in partnership? Lindelof isn't cutting it, unquote. I did think that this is where it's looking. Twanzebe looks solid, more physical. Lindelof a little shaky to start the season. I want to say maybe last season went to his head, not sure, but he does look a little off.
He looks a step off, and Twanzebe looks like he's ready to step up because he looks the real deal, you know, has that kind of like pop out speed that the best center backs have, or you just have that cutoff speed. So I want to see more of him feature. I like the fact that you had him and Maguire starting in your starting 11 for the Europa League game coming up on Thursday. So why not, sir? Let's give a punt on it.
Also, anyone's going to look bad playing next to Maguire, right?
There you go.
Like Lindelof used to be our best defender.
Looks like now a pee head next to Maguire.
Maguire. Looks pretty soft, right?
You got it.
It's like next tweet at United Red Devils, DVLS on Twitter. Quote, how many more of these matches will it take for me to accept that we just have an average, maybe top six team? UCL maybe in 3 years unless we overpay for talent next two windows. I mean, this is kind of like a punch in the gut, but
clearly a fan of the pod, sir. Sir, top six. That's like best case scenario, finish the top six.
I look, at a certain point, it's not about league position. It's about figuring out who should be wearing the badge at Manchester United. And I think Ole is trying to figure that out, and we'll add over time. But this is a long-term, this is a 3-year project, in my opinion. Ole will probably be given 2 years if you see improvement, which I think we will. We've been kind of undone unfairly with the penalty BS and then the VAR. I mean, like we really could have another, you know, six points easy. The lads just need to kind of get confidence and start finishing, really. Just it's all about finishing and getting someone to score those goals. Clearly Sanchez and Lukaku are scoring for Inter, so what do we know, right?
I mean, I think it'll be the first place we try and strengthen over the summer, over the January transfer window, sir. If the striker's available, even one like Mandzukic, we need goals, because I think the defense Mandzukic is starting to look pretty solid.
You gonna buy a Mandzukic shirt, sir?
No, I'm good, dude. I'm good. Former players
brown
now.
Brown snakeskin Adidas Mandzukic jersey.
You got it. I'm gonna buy it for you for your birthday, sir.
Happy to get that for you for Christmas if we get Mandzukic over January.
I'm good.
I think that is the pod, sir. Jumping to housekeeping. Look, it's always great to catch up with you about Manchester United, and you know it's fun to do this podcast. Whether I'm on a baby moon in Maui and you're back in the bunker messing with the audio, it's always fun to catch up about the greatest team in English football. Tough times right now, but can only get better from here, right? I think we've been saying that for a while. If you've been listening,
it's going to be the theme of the season, I think, sir. The theme of the season is going to be keep calm, carry on, manage your expectations down, and let's just enjoy the ride.
And
hopefully,
see
some good football. It's always Glazer out, and the best way to support the pod and to show that you are Glazer out is buy an awesome Avram Glazer clown shirt or a Glazer out scarf from our online store at AmericanRedDevils.com. Visit the store, and that's the best way to support the pod, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, we have them on sale because this protest really needs to get going. We've sold quite a bit of shirts and scarves. The American fans are catching up. I'm wearing my Glazer out shirt here. It just looks like a hysterical shirt. And I wear this when I watch Manchester United now, because when you watch that Arsenal game and you're looking at the players on that pitch when we had record revenues, it's like, you got to be smart. You got to know, like, look, it's Glazers out, protest the ownership. They need to invest in this team. It's a joke of what we've become and the product we're watching. Like, I know everyone's frustrated, but you can't take that frustration out on the lads on the pitch or even Ole. You got to take it to the boardroom. You got to take it to Ed Woodward. And the fact that we're not getting a director of football is another reason to continue to protest here. Look, I hope they sell it. I don't know. Who knows? But, it can only go up from here. Manchester United will be back, and it's going to be very great, sir. The sweet wouldn't be so sweet without the bitter, right?
No doubt, sir. No doubt at all. But that's why we're Glazer out all day, all long. So let's keep that chant going, because that's the most important thing. You gotta be anti this ownership, because they are not investing in the squad, not investing in the stadium. A lot of money to go around, sir.
Yeah, billion out, I want to say. And look, if you can't buy a Glazers out shirt or a pin or a sticker from our online store at www.americanreddevils.com, you can just leave us a review on iTunes or any podcast service. Share it on social media. That's how we're found. Like, organic is everything to us. Like, we literally grow this pod by word of mouth. So anything on that front would be much appreciated. But if you do give us a review on iTunes, we will send you a sticker for free. We are the number one rated podcast for Manchester United on iTunes worldwide. We have the most reviews, 5 stars, sir. So you can give us a 1 star and kick us in the nuts. We would prefer that you give us 5.
I certainly would, sir. I certainly would. We forgot to do top cities. Do you mind if I do a quick top to bottom for us for the last 7 days?
Sir, let me get in there. I got it up on my laptop right here.
All right, perfect. So get us going. You start us off, mate.
Top city. Okay, top, San Francisco Bay Area, shout out. Number one in downloads. Number two, Hotlanta. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you. Number three, New York, sir. Hit us with the next few.
Sir, number four, Bronx, New York. Number five, Wilmington, Delaware. Number six, Florence, South Carolina. Finishes off, sir.
Number seven, Dallas, Texas. Number eight, Chirac. Number nine, London. We got the UK showing up. That's how tough times are here. And we have Winter Garden, Florida. Look, we really appreciate the downloads. This podcast would be nothing without you guys, the listeners. And thank you for putting up with the different audio situation. I know there's a little bit of delay on this pod, but we'd rather get you more content than less. And having us phone in whenever we're traveling or on vacation, sir, did the podcast on my wedding day. I'll probably do the podcast after my son's born. It will be absolutely a riot. But we always, Manchester United, always watch the games, always get the pods going, sir. We love it. And this team will be back. Sir, I cannot wait.
Manchester United, the day we die, the greatest club in all the land. Doesn't matter how dark days get, things will get better, sir.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be an Arsenal fan. That's all I got to say. You know, Chelsea fan as well. You know, Liverpool fan, City fan. Wouldn't be want to be any one of those. Terrible, terrible clubs.
Got it.
Absolutely, sir. Well, hey, we got some outro music, brother. Thanks again. We'll be back with a podcast after the AZ match. And look, kicking the blue.
Kicking the blue. Chelsea
Yeah.